If there was ever an example, and there are many of them in the Bible, but if there was ever an example of the fact that God is alive and moving and working and directing in the world, this story is that. It wasn't a coincidence that Paul went over and met Lydia. It wasn't just a surprise visit. It was the hand of God creating this divine appointment. I have a photo in my office of six women who were strong, independent leaders. And they never held office in this country, at least officially, but they influenced the country as much as their husbands. And this beautiful picture shows Barbara Bush, Nancy Reagan, Rosalind Carter, Betty Ford, Pat Nixon, and Lady Bird Johnson. It's a wonderful picture of these strong women. The stories that followed them were not always pretty. Yet under the glare of the spotlight, each woman stood strong and provided an example for the rest of us of what true, confident leadership looks like. You see, to be a leader, you don't necessarily have to be in front of the pack. You just have to be faithful and true. Lydia was a woman cut out of the same swath of character. Our scripture tells us that she was from Thyatira. She was a businesswoman dealing in the sale of purple cloth. That's really all we know of her background. But in these few short verses, we can deduce so much more. The fact that she was in business and dealt with purple fabric meant that she was well established, highly regarded, and quite welcome in society's upper echelon. She was a woman of means. The fact that there's no mention of a husband has left many scholars to suggest that she was a widow. But she was well off enough that she could take care of herself. And she was well placed in society so that no one questioned what she was doing. The thing to note here is, though, that she was an extraordinary woman. She shared the same noble qualities as the woman described in Proverbs 31. We often use that of married women, but yet she had these qualities. Again, leading to the fact that many believe she was a widow. We read in the book of Proverbs, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds a distaff and grasps the spindles with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. These words could easily be used to describe Lydia. Her purple cloth was considered a luxury in those days, and only the wealthy could buy it. So she worked among the rich and influential in the city that she was staying in. History suggests that the sale of purple cloth was of a great economic importance in that day, and her choice of profession yielded her great gain and fame. It's kind of like when you have a restaurant or a business of great repute. Everybody wants to go there. Everybody wants to take a sample of the wares. And so it was with Lydia. People sought her out to come to her to see what she had to offer. But that's not why she's remembered in the scriptures. It was her decision to follow Jesus and become a disciple that singled her out among the other women. She became the first convert in Europe, the scholars say, and it was through her that God opened the door for ministry in the entire region. I know Jerry's doing a Bible study. She's finishing up this week and talking about through the eyes of the women who beheld Christ and his resurrection. So often throughout the New Testament, we see women who lead the way, whether it was the woman at the well who, when she realized who Jesus was, told all the Samaritan village and welcomed Jesus and his disciples to stay there. Or whether a couple of weeks ago we talked about Dorcas and how Dorcas was actually named a disciple. Everybody looked at her as being an apostle to the Lord. And here we have Lydia, another woman who God lifts up as one who opened the door to others through her testimony of what happened. You know, in a couple of weeks, our mission team will set off for Western Kentucky. Now, it's not quite Macedonia, But for some of us, it will be a different experience. I know I had talked with Mabel Payne, and Mabel was trying to see if she could make it work to go. Mabel grew up in that area, not too far from where my dad and mom lived for many years. And she often talks about the days there, and especially in rural Kentucky, life is a little slower. Life is a lot more faithful in some ways for many, belong to churches and go. My parents, when they went down there, found there was a Baptist church in every corner. And they had their choices, and they tried several. But it's a different world. I think, when I think about what led us to go to Kentucky, I think of this passage in Acts 16. You know, Paul and his friends were summoned to Philippi in a dream by a man begging them to come and help. And that changed their whole plan, because they saw God's call in that. And I think it was Michelle Hallamore who had the dream for our team that inspired this trip. She said, "I can't tell you why, but I just have this feeling that we need to do something for the people in Kentucky." And you know, that's how God works. He puts something in our minds. He plants a seed. He gives us a sign. And then we have the choice as to whether we will follow or not. And that seed, that dream, that vision was put in Michelle's heart. And I didn't know how it would work out. We were still in the midst of COVID, the end of December. We had a flare-up in January, and we still talked about faithfully following that call. Even now, as some of the cases are rising, we go to Kentucky without fear, I think. No, we trust in God because He called us there. What did we do? Like Paul, we started planning that mission trip. The scripture says that Paul tells the group and tells the reader, "We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." It was God who initiated, just like He did with our mission team. To our mission team and all of the rest of us who are gathered here, I don't want this to get lost in all the excitement and enthusiasm for the upcoming trip. Just as Paul and his companions were called by God, so is our team. This isn't Michelle's trip or the next Central Baptist project. I believe this was a call from God. And I want to encourage the team members, as you head to Kentucky, to keep your eyes open for what God is going to reveal to us when we're there. And for the rest of you, when we come back, to be ready to come out and listen to the stories of what God has done. In that same vein, meeting Lydia was truly a divine encounter. She was in town to do business. Thyatira was a manufacturing and commercial center, and Lydia was on the road in Philippi selling her wares. She was a worldly woman in the sense that she had probably been exposed to a lot of pagan worship and sexual immorality in her travels. Yet here she was praying with a small gathering of God-fearing men and women. She had set up shop there, was living there, and one of the first things she did was she found others who believed in God so that they could come together to pray. You know, at this time in Philippi, there was prohibition against bringing unsanctioned religious practices into the city. That's why when Paul came to the city and wanted to find other like-minded Christians, he didn't go to the synagogue or the temple. He went outside the city gates because he knew if there were other Christians there, that's where they would be. I've said this before, probably in conjunction with this passage. At First Baptist Church, where I served for many years, their history says that in the early days, before they formed a church, the believers in Jesus Christ met down at the river, at the rope walk, to pray, because they considered the Baptists evildoers and workers of the night, because they only met in secret, and they didn't know what they were doing. That's why it's so great we could hold a worship service last week out of the front lawn. If there's anybody who wondered what we're doing in here, they know now. But that's what they had to do. They had to go outside the city, find a place, and it usually was in a cool spot or someplace where they wouldn't be bothered. And it just so happens that when Paul and his companions go there, they meet this small group, which includes Lydia. You know that she was a strong woman because she was not willing to conform to the dictates of the city as it related to religion. She wanted to worship and pray to her God, so she simply went outside the gates and down to the river where others were gathered. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who faced the fiery furnace, or Daniel, who was not afraid of the lion's den, she refused to stop praying in spite of the threat of personal danger. She found a way to honor God, and it must have warmed the hearts of Paul and his companions to find this brave group there. The text doesn't say it, but I'm sure that Lydia must have stood out among her peers that day. You know, when I started my involvement with the Miss Connecticut pageant almost 20 years ago, I met a woman named Miss Jeanette Scott, otherwise known as the Woman in Purple. A beautiful woman, and she had purple from head to toe. The joke was, no, I better not say it, we're in church, but she was covered in purple head to toe, and we called her the Purple Lady. And what a lady she was. And I imagine that when people saw Lydia, they must have thought the same thing. Her appearance and her status set her apart. It could be that she was the only woman of wealth that gathered at the river. In those days, there weren't many people of means who followed the way of Jesus. That's why Paul would say most of you weren't wise. Most of you weren't gifted, talented leaders. But God called you anyway. I love what Phil had to say. There's nothing within us that makes us so special that David himself wouldn't say, who are we, God, that you're mindful of us? And in that early church, it was the people who had been left out, shut out, put aside, who often were the ones who followed the way of Jesus. And yet here was this woman, the seller of purple. Too many of those who had wealth and position were afraid that they had too much to lose to follow this Jesus. Even Jesus noted that it's harder for a rich man to follow Jesus than it is to go the camel to go through the eye of the needle. Lydia was an exception to that rule. What's more, she didn't view herself as better than the other women because of her status. The text says she was just one of the women gathered there listening. Think about this. You know, they didn't have blue laws back then, just like today. Pretty much they're all a thing of the past. Lydia was giving up sales commissions to be there. She could have been out hawking her cloth, but instead she made a conscious decision to be with others to pray and to pursue God. The truth is that whether you decided to go on a short-term mission trip this week or you simply decided to come to worship on a Sunday, you are making a sacrifice. You're telling the world that God is more important than all the other choices you could have made. That's why when I hear people say, it's my only day off, or I want to spend time with my family and we'll be all together, or I needed the overtime pay, as reasons for not coming to worship, as a pastor, I think of you who are here today, and I say to myself, these people are really putting God first. Whether you're here in person or you're taking the time to watch our worship service today, live or later, you're saying, this is important. I want to spend this time with the Lord. The truth is that when you make worship a priority and spend time with Jesus, you are telling the world what is most important in your life. We all know you could be doing something else. Like Lydia, you chose the best portion, and you're here because you want to worship God and learn more about Him. You're here because you want to grow in your faith. You're here because you want to honor the Lord. That's exactly why Lydia was there on that morning when Paul showed up. That day when he came, she was blessed in that divine encounter because she met a man of God who was able to share the stories that he had heard firsthand from the disciples and those who followed Jesus. She was able to hear the truth and the sacrifice that he made and how much he loved her so that he would give his life for her. And that touched her heart in such a deep way that she gave her heart to Christ that day and it says that she and her whole household were baptized. Lydia is now remembered as being an equal to the apostles. For after that day, after that divine encounter, she continued to spread the good news throughout the region. She became a door for ministry throughout Europe. I think that's why Paul was sent there. The message came to him because God was going to do a new thing in a new land. And he was going to use Paul and Lydia to begin that process. Today, she's considered an icon in the Orthodox Church and a woman worthy of the call of God. As I said to the boys and girls earlier, so it is with you and I. God is working all around us, and sometimes He calls us to take a step of faith, to do something we don't think we can do. I'll never forget the first time I actually thought about going on a mission trip. And I was scared to death, but I had another pastor, my friend and mentor, Sheldon Keller, who was with our partner and sister church. And so I figured he could do all the work and I could hide behind him if any arrows started to come. No. It was scary. And I remember we went to Mexico and we were crossing the border and it was late at night, 7-8 o'clock. The sun had gone down. And as we were going through this city, we went through, I think, the worst part of the city. And I remember thinking, what have we gotten ourselves into? Over the years, as we've done ministry in the churches, sometimes I've wondered that same thing right here in Westerly, or maybe in Norwich or Cross Mills where I've served. What have we gotten ourselves into to be doing the things that we're doing? Things that seem impossible, things that seem hard. But you see, when the call of God comes, He sends us out, but He doesn't send us alone. He says, fear not, I will be with you. When He sent Moses back to Pharaoh, He didn't say, go ahead, I'll catch you on the other side. No, He said, don't worry, don't fear, I will be with you. When He sent David up against Goliath, He didn't say, go ahead, you handle it, I'll be sitting here on the sidelines with a king. No, He said, don't worry, I will be with you. And all throughout history with the disciples, and with those saints down through the ages who have served the Lord, each time the Lord says, do not be afraid, I'll be with you. He said that to the forebears at First Baptist Church and Calvary and Central Baptist Church. He said, do not be afraid, I will be with you. And He probably said that to Michelle when that thought popped into her head. Yeah, I hear your voice, God. So when God speaks to you, don't be afraid. Listen to the voice of God that says, do not fear, I will be with you. And then wait and see where God takes you. I want to finish by saying this. When you feel that nudge of God to do something, like Michelle did this past winter, or like I've heard Jerry speak about in some of her testimonies, don't ignore it. For God may be calling you to be a channel for His works. Don't be afraid to open yourself to His calling. For God may just use you or me to open the door for His next great thing. You might be thinking, who, me? If you do, you'll be just like Lydia and a whole list of those who, when they heard the voice of God, they said yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You consider us not just as men and women, but as Your children. And Lord, as You are providing a heritage for us and a way for Your glory to be revealed in this world for the coming time. Oh Lord, we thank You for the call to walk with You. Oh Lord, even as we bless the mission team as they prepare to go, bless each and every one of us as we head back to our jobs, to our communities, to our families. And Lord, help us that when we hear Your voice, that gentle nudge of Your Holy Spirit, help us to say yes. Help us not to be afraid, but to go and to serve You. Oh Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.